Welcome to Advertising Week Europe 2024 in audio, powered by The Barbershop. In this podcast, we'll bring you the latest insights and trends from industry leaders in advertising and marketing. Join us as we dive into discussions that shape the future of our industry.
Hi, everybody, and welcome to our session on Gen Alpha, the V&A, and how to design cutting-edge brand experiences for children. I'm Sophie Brendel. I'm the Director of Audiences, Commercial and Digital at the V&A.
Afternoon, everybody. I'm Helen Charman. I'm Director of Young V&A, and we're going to be really focusing a lot on that in the next half hour or so. I'm Director of Young V&A and Learning and National Programmes for the V&A Museum.
So before we dive in, a quick introduction to the V&A for any of you who may not be familiar with us. The V&A is the family of museums dedicated to the power of creativity. Our mission across all of our museums is to champion creativity in all its forms for everyone and to inspire the makers, creators and innovators of tomorrow. Hands up if you've been to the V&A. Let's just have a quick look. Oh, look at that.
Yeah, and hands up if you've been to Young V&A.
All right, excellent. Okay. So, as many of you already know, there's several museums in our family. We've got the V&A in South Kensington, which many of you will know and would have been to, whether that's exhibitions, our collections, events, and so on. We've got V&A Dundee, our first museum outside of London and Scotland. The V&A Wedgwood Collection in Stoke-on-Trent. We've got two new museums open next year in 25 on the Olympic Park.
V&A.
And, of course, Young V&A, which we're here to talk to you about today in part, which last year. Young people have always been really important to the V&A and to museums and the visitor attraction sector in general. They're a large and a key part of our audience, and they are a crucial part of our audiences for tomorrow. And it's a big central part of our mission to engage them from a young age and help hopefully bring up a generation of people that love museums and what we do. But who are they? Who are Gen A and what defines and interests them? That's the question that we wanted to answer, because we needed those answers to then be able to define how to design some truly unforgettable in-person and online experiences for them. So a bit about Gen A. They are defined loosely as those born from 2010 to 2024. So today's 0 to 14 year olds and the siblings often of Gen Z. It's worth bearing in mind that 2010 was also the year the iPad was launched. So this is a generation that have grown up seamlessly with technology. By next year, by 25, there'll be 2.2 billion Gen Alpha alive globally. So just stop and think for a minute that that is going to be the largest generation of any in the history of the world. This is a large generation that is important now. They will have huge consumer power in the future, and they already have huge power over the consumer choices that their parents make. Sometimes they can be hard to describe and define, and that's partly because they're still being born. This generation is growing up amidst massive social and technological shifts. Climate change has become a global emergency, gender stereotypes have become blurred, politics is much more polarised, and the global pandemic has disrupted their childhood in unprecedented ways. And the impact of that, for any of you with children in this room, or for all of you who know people with children in this room, is still being felt, it's still being learned and understood. And because Gen Alpha are still children, they're also under the influence of their parents. Not always, but typically millennials. And we know that millennials' use of social media, including sharing photos and video and content around their children, is shaping a lot of the way that Gen A think. They're online from birth. Think about this, that they are the first generation where tablets will be ubiquitous, where streaming is the norm, and where virtual classrooms are suddenly a thing. It's worth having a think about the context that they're growing up in as well. I should say, by the way, that we work with Beano Brain on the research that we did on Gen Alpha and the research that we have done to help define what we've done. Some of these slides are from that work. There's a few sort of themes that I wanted to draw out. Firstly, that for this generation, there's an idea of parent idols. Millennial parents parent differently to many generations before. They'll embrace and encourage their children's causes. They'll involve them in family decision-making. It's a flatter and more democratic parenting structure than previous generations may have had. There's a small C conservatism to Gen Alpha, to children coming up. They're a bit more cautious. There's a respect for good behaviour. I wish mine would do that a bit more often. Realistic aspirations and slightly more conservative career aspirations, in as much as you have career aspirations when you're 0 to 14. There's pressure. This is a generation that feels like they're being constantly assessed. Assessed at school, assessed online, assessed in social media. And it's a very family-first generation as well. Families are really important, that family time together. Again, think about that 3-4 year period of the pandemic when all of our children were at home with parents much more than perhaps previous generations will have been. And we saw this in the previous description as well. This idea of being seen and being seen authentically. accepting of difference from a really early age and rejecting stereotypes. So if that's some of the context about the generation we're talking to and what defines and how 0 to 14-year-olds Gen A are shaped, we wanted to ask them another question, series of questions. But firstly, what do they think about museums? The simple answer, around 45% of them. There we go. 45% think museums are boring. Sadly for us, luckily not all of them, which gave us quite a lot of optimism and a lot of room for expansion and for growth. This was really important for us to know, like, what was it about museums that wasn't piquing their interest? I mean, how many of you when you were young have been to a museum and perhaps not always found it the most child-friendly experience, or indeed taking your own children around them because you wanted to see something? And so for us, we wanted to create something genuinely special. We learned really quickly that children have a number of prerequisites for what they wanted to be a sort of cool new kids museum: having hands-on things to do, being really interactive, and giving them autonomy. So we took all of this intel, all this insight, all of this knowledge to create what we think is something really special. I'm going to hand over to Helen to tell you more about what that is.
Fantastic. Thank you. When I speak at conferences, I often just ask audiences to throw out one word that they think, you know, children might think about museums. And every single time, 100%, I've been all around the world, it's always, yeah, boring, which is a total indictment of our sector, for those of us who work in museums. So let me tell you, Young V&A is anything but boring. We co-designed this museum. We designed it with and for children, and children from 8 years old to 14, and then also early years, babies, toddlers, through children's centres. And what the children said to us is they wanted the most joyful museum in the world. And there is no better design brief than that: the most joyful museum in the world. So what does that look like? At the heart of the museum, creativity, problem solving, a vision to inspire the next generation of creatives, child voice at the center, to empower educators, professionals who work with children, to connect children with the ingenuity of creative professionals, and also with one another's own kind of creative power, and to influence from our context the museum sector to really take children seriously as cultural and creative producers and consumers, rather than the sort of add-on, you know, the thing that comes after the substantive context. So we set out to co-design the world's most joyful museum, this notion of creative confidence at the heart. And any of you who are interested in, creative industries, creative industry adjacent careers, we all know now the World Economic Foundation, UNESCO, creativity is the skill that we need to survive and flourish in a very complicated, fast-moving world. All the debates around AI, creativity is about problem solving, about thinking, what if, how might, how do we do things differently in ways that matter? And particularly in a context of a museum which is about applied creativity, we often talk about the design mindset as being feet on the ground, head in the clouds. You know, head in that space of imagination and curiosity. That's what fuels creativity. And of course, children have that in abundance. Our other guiding principle is about co-working. And this is a fairly new methodology that we're now seeing really play out across our sector. It's not consultation. It's something much more in-depth. It can be co-design, co-curation, co-production. But it's about working with your end user in a formative way right at the beginning. So their voices, their hopes, aspirations, dreams, their perspectives are really embodied in then the design process to create spaces. So co-working, absolutely embedded. Young V&A, in this first instance, it's a local community resource. We're in Bethnal Green. Only a small number of hands went up when I said, have you been to Young V&A? Because we only opened 10 months ago. It'll be our first birthday on July the 1st. When we opened, we had a queue of children and families that snaked from the museum forecourt in Bethnal Green all the way back past museum gardens, all the way to the tube. And we did a rocket ship countdown from 10 to 0 opening. And this whole queue started jumping up and down. You imagine, children were so excited, jumping down to kind of open, and we opened the doors, and within 30 minutes we had 1,000 children in that museum, and they have voted with their feet, over 600,000 kids coming through in the first 9 months. So it's been a real success locally, nationally. We're doing something really powerful about the importance of creative education. And internationally, there's conversations across the sector about really embedding Gen A's voices and perspectives in cultural product and experiences. We're a very strong advocate for Gen A and for creativity.
Creativity Museum used to be the Museum of Childhood, but it's been through a big transformation. It went into hibernation a few years ago, but in July 2023, it woke up as Young V&A. Now it has nearly 2,000 objects on display, three interactive galleries called Imagine, Play and Design, and a place for exhibition designed for children, meaning there is so much to explore and discover. It's for ages 0 to 14, but adults can come too. Gallery is full of creative objects from all around the world and activities inspired by them. There's something for babies and early years right up to the older ages. There are immersive optical illusions, a performance area where you can get up on stage, a giant marble run, Minecraft building, a self-portrait maker and so much more. Every part of the museum has been co-designed with children like me. The architects and people who set up Young V&A work with over 20,000 people from local schools and the local community to really understand what we all wanted. They even included a flying car.
So hopefully that will inspire you to come and visit. So just now talking very briefly about the co-working perspective. And again, if you're working with Gen A, you know, and you can find a way to embed this methodology, you will have a much more kind of robust product, because it really will have a kind of authenticity to it. It will speak to those needs, interests, hopes, aspirations of your target audience. So here we're with co-design. Some children from local schools worked with our architects. They worked with our optical toys collection. We're a museum, so we have objects at the centre, but every object works really hard on behalf of the child for experiences which are social, relevant, inspiring. The whole museum is underpinned by a sort of scholarly rigour in childhood development, but it's very playful. And so this beautiful kaleidoscopic staircase, as you see when you come into the town square, this space of convening, was inspired by kaleidoscope, zoetropes. The mirror at the top, the children wanted that. They said museums are where you come to see yourself differently, to see the world differently, to have a different kind of framework in this visual space. Interestingly, they weren't that interested in a lot of digital experiences in the museum. They wanted safe spaces that were inspiring and joyful, and they could interact with their families, with their friends in ways that actually were more kind of analog than digital. They have a lot of that in their lives outside the museum. And where we do have digital content, it's more with a critical lens, video games, where we look at the kind of professions involved in designing video games and insights into the creative professions. So co-design on the building, co-production, these are some young people from a local school. We have an incredible collection of dolls' houses, absolutely outstanding in the world. But for the children, when we were co-curating and co-producing, they weren't interested in having a gallery full of dolls' houses. They were interested in community, in living together, in civic agency. So we have a space called Living Together. And there's this beautiful co-produced piece here with the architect Emily Queenie, the young people talking about their lived experiences of the locality of Bethnal Green, where the museum is. And it's a very real world interpretation surrounded by fantastic dolls' houses in a sort of urban context. And for the young people, that's what makes it meaningful to them. And then with co-curation, we work with a local photographer, did a fantastic portrait project, also with a local community centre, asking the children to come and showcase what creativity meant. And then they could come curate this in a space. And then the three galleries, the Imagine Gallery, full of theatre and performance. We've got Joey the Warhorse puppet. There's an incredible stage where the young people can come and do their own performances. There's a plethora of new commissions, an installation by Rachel Whitereed. It's a really beautiful, inspiring gallery, all about storytelling and the power of curiosity. The play gallery, sensory environments, there's a mini museum for under threes. Children will grow up with this museum. We've had children over the last 10 months take their first steps here. Young parents who just are really delighted to have a space which takes them kind of seriously as cultural consumers. Yes, it's playful, but they're serious. We learn through play. That's how we become kind of creative individuals. And then the design gallery, which is all about design as a problem-solving skill, you know, empathy, collaboration, working together, you know, absolutely intrinsic mindsets that young people need to sort of flourish, to survive and thrive and flourish in a very complicated world. Sophie mentioned our temporary exhibitions, Japan, Myth to Manga. This has been fantastically reviewed by families and children and also by critics across the sector, because, again, it's a world-class exhibition, but it's curated and designed to really respond to the ways that Gen Alpha want to engage with the world, those social experiences, meaningful, embodied learning. They want time actually away from the screen, time with their friends, with their families. We learn through play. Montessori says play is the work of the child. So any experiences or environments that can be developed that invite playful engagement, that's where you'll really create very positive experiences and retain and build that sort of market for Gen A.
So I'm going to talk to you a little bit. I mean, Helen, amazing work on the museum. And from my side, how did we build a brand around a museum that would bring that museum to life for our audiences and help bring new audiences through the door? Previously, and before Young V&A, in many ways, the V&A brand was synonymous with South Kensington. You know, our logo, that space, they were one and the same. But as this family of V&A museums grows, V&A Dundee first, Young V&A with V&A East to follow next year, that needs to change. And we've spent a lot of time over the last couple of years working on a total brand transformation across the V&A to create the V&A much more at master brand territory and think about this family, all of which, like all good siblings in a family, they share common DNA, but they've got their own characteristics. So we work with Mark Porter and with Pentagram to create individual identities for each of the museums, joined by that golden thread of creativity. And here you have a glimpse, of course, at Young V&A and how that comes to life. The central proposition for Young V&A was sparking creativity for all the reasons that you've just heard Helen talking about. The sparking creativity now and for the future with an active space to imagine, play and design. And really key for Young V&A, as you've just heard, is that it's participatory and hands-on. We're really keen not to fall into the cliche, the design cliches of how you think about children or making it too young. It's quite a wide age group, 0 to 14. You need to speak to the older end of that age group. And actually, we know younger children like to act up. So we went much more into that sort of 10, 11 to 14 year old space with something that felt playful and creative, but that didn't feel too young. And we wanted something seriously spirited, which incidentally is also our tone of voice for this museum. That's different to South Kensington. It will be different to V&A East again, but felt absolutely right for this particular space. And the brand, you've seen various bits of it throughout the videos and the elements that we've shown. We wanted it to be vibrant and fun and creative and stimulating, a curiosity-provoking brand that resonated with our young audiences. And you can see some of the key elements here. All of this was made with a very audience-centered mindset. We've got a fairly new typeface across the V&A that we designed that was designed for us and rolled out last year called Spiller, named after one of our very first ever female educators about 160 years ago. And each of our sites have got their own bespoke version of it. Of that central typeface. And you see here this V&A, Spiller Young, as we call it, the Young V&A version. We wanted a striking colour palette that felt really vibrant. We wanted a selection of really emotive doodles that could come to life across our brand and interact with text and imagery and really feel playful. And then objects, core to a whole museum proposition, but how we bring them to life and how we make it feel really characterful. And it's worth saying that the brand element of this is embedded across absolutely everything. It's embedded across the entire physical fabric of the museum. It's in our wayfinding. It's across our shop. It's across all of our front of house staff who also embody it as the physical manifestation of brand. And it's obviously through all of our digital and comms and marketing activity. It's really seeded throughout it all. And it's a wonderful addition that's obviously been developed so closely with the vision for the museum that helps take that idea of physical into digital and out to audiences. When we launched back in July, on July the 1st, this was part of our launch campaign. And the business challenge for launch was to bring in a new audience to this venue. It had been a venue before as a Museum of Childhood, which was a very different type of proposition around the sort of more social history of childhood. So we wanted to bring in 550,000 visitors per year. That's a 25% increase on what it had been before, with 76% of the audience being under 18, a 39% increase on where it had been before. And with creativity really central, we wanted to position this as a new place, a new venue to come. You can see here, creativity has a new home, an invitation to join in for our younger audiences. And this campaign was seeded across the whole of the local area, very, very sort of Bethnal Green focused and East London focused, across buses, bus stops, you know, across that local community, digital and online. And then we rolled out more widely across London as well with all sorts of different activations to help bring this to life. I mean,
it's seeded across the whole panel.
You get a bit of an idea there of how it comes to life. It's really fun and vibrant and playful. And, you know, when we launched, I've worked on quite a few museum gallery launches, as has Helen, over our time at the V&A. And this is one of my favourite that I've ever worked on. I've rarely seen a response actually quite like it. It was the critical acclaim and the media acclaim, as well as, of course, the crucial thing for us, that audience acclaim, was sort of beyond our wildest dreams. So much coverage last year. And there are lots and lots of quotes to draw on. I mean, a couple of favourites from me. Obviously, Young V&A is the best museum of children my family has ever seen. And then one that I really love from BBC London. It's perfectly acceptable to crawl across the beautifully renovated 19th century mosaic floor or trot from one display to another dangling your toy bunny. It sort of sums it up perfectly. This is not a place where you need to be quiet in a museum. This is a place where you should be exuberant and play and express great joy. So the media was phenomenal. Our royal patron, who of course has such a firm and strong commitment to child-centred learning, came and also was part of our opening set of activities, beloved by our audiences, young and old, and the media alike for that visit. And we're really, really proud to have just been nominated for the biggest museum prize in the world, the Museum of the Year. We're one of the five nominees, which was announced a couple of weeks ago, with huge congratulations to Helen and all of her team. And, you know, following on from that coverage last summer, there's a piece in The Standard, which some of you might have read a couple of weeks ago, that really championed how we can think about child-centred design in a much more sophisticated way, and how London is getting really good at this, partly also led and spearheaded by Young V&A. And I really love this quote as well. Culture made for children is often looked down on, but when they're done well, they're as good as anything. It's important because places like this would implant in so many that galleries and museums are places for them, where they can have their minds opened and embrace new ideas and hopefully start the habit of a lifetime. I mean, what a thing also for young people to have access to and be able to grow up in a fulsomely creative environment. The first 9 months, as Helen mentioned, has been absolutely brilliant. I mean, just a few stats on here about what that looked like. 223% higher than the previous museum had been. Extraordinary rankings and ratings across all different metrics from our visitors. And we're really, really delighted with how it's gone. And it's only 10 months old, as Helen has said. I wanted to talk briefly about digital and online. Because while Young V&A is, of course, an amazing bricks and mortar experience for those who are in London and was several years in the making, we also wanted to think more broadly. All that insight into Gen Alpha and all that thinking that we had done at the beginning of this, how did we take that internationally? How do we take that beyond our physical borders here in this country? And of course, that's going to be via digital. We know this generation is massively digitally savvy, but we also know they've got a lot of different competing demands for their attention. And we know while they're on social, that's not actually always the appropriate place, as we know, to target young people. So we wanted to create a global online proposition for youth audiences. We felt that the really young audiences are actually quite well served online. There's a lot for younger audiences, but there's a bit of a missing gap in that 10 to 14 year old group, where actually there's a lot then that starts coming on, particularly with social media once you're a bit older. But there's a gap for 10 to 14 year olds, and we set ourselves the challenge to come up with something really interesting and sophisticated for them that would be safe, would be fun. And we know that teens are spending an average of 2 hours per day on TikTok. Really? Oh. Not quite there. We've gone one too far. We wanted to create something that would resonate with those audiences online. We put together a trend spotter panel, slightly older. We talked to people kind of aged 12 to 16 to age up a little bit. And we asked them what young people were searching for. What were they interested in? What were their habits? You know, spoiler alert, it wasn't the V&A. It's not searching for museums online. It is Taylor Swift. It is Nike. It is all sorts of other things like that. We learned that gawpcore and all sorts of fashion trends are the big things that people are talking about. And so we decided to come up with, for museums anyway, a really different digital proposition, and one that wasn't our thinking taken out to audiences, but was led by what our audiences were searching for, particularly on Google and elsewhere and YouTube. What were they looking for? What were they interested in? How could we start there and create a breadcrumb trail back to the V&A? We couldn't expect that this audiences will come to us. Most of them wouldn't. It wasn't their first port of call. And so we thought we would start with that, create an SEO-driven proposition based on what they're searching for, and find a way to bring them into the V&A. And this is across the whole of the V&A, I should say, not just Young V&A. So I'm just going to see if this will play again for me. Mused, it's a new website for teens that we launched last autumn. It's got quizzes, articles, videos about fashion, art, design, music, gaming. Some of our best performing articles include things like top 10 objects to survive the zombie apocalypse, very, very popular. How does a Polaroid camera work? Which type of dog are you? And really popular for us, which Taylor Swift album are you? And, you know, going out to where people are searching for Taylor Swift, appearing really high, you know, ranking highly on those search ratings, people clicking on this, doing the quiz, takes them into the world of the V&A in a way that feels relevant to them. It's only 6 months old. It's doing really well for us. 20% month-on-month growth, been nominated for a bunch of awards, fingers crossed that we win. And crucially, our audiences love it. And for us, it's a way of reaching audiences that wouldn't come to us anyway, and truly global audiences. So going to young people where they are and really embracing digital in different ways. I'm going to hand over to Helen for our last little bit, just on how we're activating the museum over these last few months.
We'll whiz through, because I know we're very tight on time. So when you come and visit Young V&A in Bethnal Green, you'll go up to the design gallery, you'll see the shed where we have the incredible design placement. This is Clara, who's just sort of finishing up, actually. She's an amazing sustainable design accessories designer. So it's a creative space, lots of programming with and for young people. The town square, as we call this central space, we do loads of performances and festivals there. The next big one will be on the 1st of July when it's our first birthday. Got the marionettes here doing their hula hooping. We're just about to open a fantastic activation with AMV BBDO, which is around yokais in our Mr. Manga exhibition. These are umbrellas which were left on TFL on the underground, and yokais are inanimate household objects in Japanese mythology. After 100 years, they come to life, get up to mischief. So we've commissioned a set of incredible designers and artists to transform some of these lost and found into yokai, and they'll be on display opening on the 24th of May. Open Iftar, we hosted Open Iftar. We had the call to prayer in our local community on the 5th of April. It was very moving, very beautiful. We are a centre for community. So just wrapping up now, our three key lessons learned over the last, actually it's been a 6-year programme, but a whirlwind since July 1st, very exuberant space. So wrapping up, well, obviously for us, Gen A are an absolutely vital audience. They are not only the next generation of creatives, but, you know, the generation now. We need to know how to best meet their needs, the context of post-pandemic. There's serious intent here through the Learning Through Play piece. Gen A absolutely at the heart. But when we're working with Gen A, it's a new mode of thinking. We've got to try things differently in ways that matter. That's that co-design piece, challenge some of the orthodoxies of the ways that we work. And, you know, last one to Sophie to wrap up on.
You know, I'm sure there'll be many of you in this room that this will resonate with, but embedding a really well thought through brand proposition at the core of the experience, whether that's the physical experience in Young V&A or the digital experience with Muse, absolutely key to success. Basing that on insight, basing that on real deep audience intelligence. And, you know, just to wrap up, we are 9-10 months in. There is so much still to do. If you work with brands, if you are brands that are interested in the space, if you're interested in working with Gen A, if you're interested in Young V&A, there's all sorts of different ways that we are developing ideas. We've already got a big pipeline for the next few years. It's a really, really vibrant space for us. And we would always be open to chatting and to answering any questions you have, which will probably tell me we've run out of time for. But if there are any, come and grab us. Or do we have time now? I don't know. I'm looking at the organisers. No. Okay. I'm sorry about that. But if you want to come and have a chat with us outside, we will be there.
Over a gin and tonic.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Advertising Week Europe 2024 in audio. Stay connected with us on social media using the handle @advertisingweek, and visit our website europe.advertisingweek.com for more exclusive content. This podcast was produced by Podcander, the audio conference solution.